Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, Star Wars, Star Wars,
and more Star Wars, plus our discussion topic and your feedback. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly, episode 12, for the week of December 20th, 2017. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Therese Erb, and thank you for joining us this week. First off, we would like to let you know that we will be on break until after the new year. Our next episode should be out on January 3rd. We hope you have a fun, hopefully Disneyland-filled holiday. Now let's get to the news.
Star Tours announces the boarding of the Endor Express, non-stop star speeder service to the moon of Endor. All passengers, please prepare for immediate boarding.
With the opening of Star Wars The Last Jedi this week, the Star Wars-themed offerings at the resort have been busy. There were crazy lines this past weekend at the Star Trader in Tomorrowland from guests looking for Last Jedi merchandise.
In addition to the popular merchandise, the stale Star Wars Path of the Jedi film has been updated. There is now an intro with Rian Johnson and a trailer for the new movie at the end. Just like before, this is probably worth going in and checking out once, then forget about it until the next update.
Another popular item has come to the outdoor vending carts in Tomorrowland. For $12.99, you can now own your own Captain Phasma Stein. This Stein is heavily polished like the character, depicts, and is sure to be a popular item, like the popcorn buckets that we have talked about recently on the show.
Have you seen pictures of this? It's pretty cool looking.
No,
it's very shiny. It looks like her, like a miniature version of her helmet, but it's like a cup.
Nice.
So it's nice to see that they're branching out from popcorn buckets. I mean, they have, but hopefully this will be popular like that.
I'm sure it will be.
So that has to be all the updates on Star Wars, right? Wrong! The Star Wars launch bay has also received a breath of fresh air and some new exhibits to look at. The Last Jedi props are now adorning the entrance to the exhibit. A part of Galaxy's Edge model is on display, and some great merchandise has hit shelves.
Some of the highlights include miniatures of the ships and props used in the movie, including Poe's blaster pistol, a First Order dreadnought, Rey's lightsaber, and more. In addition to this, there is a new film that discusses the Star Wars saga and how the team works on all aspects of the universe, from merchandise to theme park attractions to films and video games. If you are interested in seeing this video, we have a link to it on our show notes at DisneylandWeekly.com.
Yeah, I took a little bit of time to watch this today. Mice Chat had went in and filmed it. And it was actually pretty interesting because they talked about how they have to keep the storyline consistent, and it has to be consistent in the whole universe. So it's not just movies, it's not just the theme park attractions, it's not just comic books or regular books. It's like all of these animated series, it's everything all kind of together. So they spend a lot of time and a lot of effort trying to make sure that everything makes sense and connects together. It's definitely, if you're a Star Wars fan, it's definitely worth a watch. Well, finally, to wrap up our Star Wars related news for the week, the Disney Park Blog's last 12 days of Disney Park's Christmas post focused on new details for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. There's a possible picture of the Millennium Falcon hallway that will be part of the new attraction. Other announcements included that they are building a fleet of X-Wing fighters for Galaxy's Edge, constructed out of authentic materials, or at least as authentic as you can in a galaxy that is long, long ago and far, far away.
So do we know what they're going to do with these X-Wings? I mean, and how big are they?
They're life-size.
Life-size, okay.
Yeah, so wow. I think they're just going to like have them around.
Just as props.
Kind of. And they said... in the post, they said that people are going to be able to go up and like touch them and stuff. That's why they made them out of like, out of like metal and stuff. So yeah. Like it feels like a thing. And they said, actually, the things that are going to be in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge are more real than the ones in the movies, because the movie ones are made out of like fiberglass and foam and stuff.
Because they just use it the one time and then it's gone. Yep, that makes sense.
So it's pretty interesting. The hallway... apparently, so when I wrote this, I said that there's a possible picture of the Millennium Falcon hallway. Upon watching the video that was linked for your previous story, Teresa, they said that, like, this is actually part of the attraction that's already done, is this Millennium Falcon hallway, and that's, like, the view of it. So it's supposed to be really, like, you're walking onto the Millennium Falcon, and, like, you can explore the Millennium... I don't know how this is going to work, because you're trying to get thousands of people an hour into this attraction, and it's going to be very popular. So I don't know how they're going to deal with that.
So is this like because I'm looking at the photo right now, is this an actual photo of what it is, or is this just a concept?
This is the, are you looking at the one on my chat?
Yes, posted? I'm on my chat.
Yep. Yeah. So the picture they posted, it's the hallway that mm-hmm. you're looking at?
Yep.
Yeah. So apparently that is a completed part of the attraction.
Wow.
That you will walk through to get on this attraction at some point. And they say in the thing, they say in the video and everything that you will walk through and you will be able to, you'll come up the hatch and you can walk around the Millennium Falcon and then you get in the cockpit and then you're on the attraction. Which is strange to me because I'm just like, I don't know how you're going to, like, I know some people could spend probably hours looking at various
things. Oh, for sure.
Things,
yeah, for sure.
And I just don't understand how...
I'm just curious how this whole
logistically
land is going to come together, because weren't you saying before that how you do on this attraction then somehow shapes your experience in the land for the rest of the time you're there? Somehow the characters that are walking around will know how you did, and so you'll have interactions based on how you performed with them, you know, so
yep.
I just...
How you do...
It's just mind-boggling.
In the attraction.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So were you on the Disney Parks blog? Is that the what you were on? This one?
Oh, the yes, Parks I'm blog? Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, because here's the X-Wings.
Yeah, there's the X-Wings.
And then this is actually a completed interior...
That's amazing. It doesn't look real. That's how awesome, like...
Well, I mean, it looks real.
It looks real, but it doesn't look like you could, like, walk down.
Yeah, it looks like the movie set.
Awesome.
It doesn't, mm-hmm. yeah. And then they have this, another picture
concept
here of, like,
art,
one
yeah.
of the concept arts of, like, the, one of the...
Looks like it's probably going to be...
A toy shop.
Yeah, some sort of store.
About. So, we'll see how it goes. I'm kind of excited to see, although, again, there's
look
a couple...
Look at this guy next to the X-Wings. He looks like an ant.
Oh, is it the guy? Yeah.
Yeah, so there's
a
photo
of
four X-Wings in progress of them, you know, in the progress of them building them. And there's this little guy. Well, I mean, he looks little, but this guy that's in front of him, and he just looks tiny compared to these. So these things are just going to be massive.
Well, you've seen the movie. That's
their
accurate size.
I know.
But yeah.
But to actually see it in person is, you know, to see it on the screen is one thing, to actually see it.
Now, something that I get concerned about with all of Galaxy's Edge is... Like, so let's say, I know it's going to be very popular.
Oh, for
but
sure, yeah.
Everything has its time. So 15 years from now, when the newness of Galaxy's Edge has died off, are they still going to keep up all of the interactions in that land? Do you know what I mean? Like, I can see that as a first, we need to cut expenditures, and there's all this stuff in this land, we can probably just axe it.
Well, and it depends on how popular the franchise all around is going to be. I mean, who's to say that they aren't going to keep producing Star Wars movies in 15 years? So they could just continuously draw, you know, get the younger generations excited and keep the older generations, you know, in that world or in that universe. So it could have a lot of potential as long as they do it right. There's a lot of potential there. If they kind of ignore the franchise in general, then I could see how it kind of become something of the past.
Right.
But it's interesting because there's not really any other Disney park that they've done similar to. I don't
This
know
is a first
yeah,
for them.
This is completely different.
So Pandora, the World of Avatar is their first kind of idea of this, but they kind of just like it like you felt like you were in
Right, you're immersed
Pandora,
in the world, but
there's not a lot of interaction.
Right, the interaction thing is just interesting to me.
This is what they want to do. I think this is kind of in a response to if you look at Wizarding World of Harry Potter, when you go, you can get magic wands and interact with the land,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And you can interact with people. You know, you go into Ollivander's and you get a wand, and there's a whole little wand selection thing that they can do. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah,
it's
I've
pretty
seen
cool.
Them.
You know, so I think that Disney is reacting
to that.
Yeah,
but this is definitely like 10 steps ahead of that, though.
Well, they have to.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, because the stuff that they're doing at Universal is, it's just very staged, and the things that you're doing with your interactive wands are just... You can't just do it anywhere. You have to be standing in this specific spot and swish and flick your wand in a specific way. And then, you know, you make whatever come alive.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is, I can't wrap my head around how they're going to do this.
Well, we'll see how they execute it. So, you know, saying things and looking at drawings is one thing.
Sure.
And then how they execute
and how they
it is
go through with it.
Is a totally different thing. So we'll see. I think it's going to be extremely complicated. And I think when Galaxy's Edge opens, I think they're going to have... bugs. There's going to be problems with it.
Of course. Well, yeah, as there always is, as there should be. That's just how it goes. But
so something I did not put in the news, but I think we should talk about, that I was going to talk about last week, but we didn't talk about last week, was Disney's purchase of 21st Century Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's probably not going to happen. I think it takes 12 to 18 months for them to finally do it. Something somebody brought up that's related to our Star Wars conversation here is, I actually didn't notice this, until they said it. And then literally tonight I went and saw The Last Jedi for a second time, and it, I really noticed it now that it's been pointed out. So it's not a spoiler at all. It's not even part of the movie, really. So they said that 20th Century Fox is who originally put out the Star Wars movies.
Oh,
so okay. The very beginning was that 20th Century Fox fanfare, remember?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then it went from that to a long time ago, yep, in a galaxy. Now it's just Lucasfilm. It's quiet. And then it does a long time ago in a galaxy far, far, mm-hmm, and it's quiet. And then it just done. So like, that's the first thing you get. So I'm wondering, one of the thoughts was, even if 20th Century Fox doesn't distribute the new Disney movies, are they going to add that logo back in just for the feel of it?
I don't think so.
I don't know, but I noticed when I watched it tonight that it does feel like something's missing.
It does. Now that it's been pointed out. Now that you're saying that, I guess it's like, oh yeah, I guess. But why would they put 20th Century Fox on it though? Because they don't have anything, you know, they wouldn't have anything to do with it at that point. I'm surprised they haven't done some sort of equivalent with maybe the Disney Castle logo or something, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to think, because beginning of Marvel films, they have
the Marvel thing.
They still have
Lucasfilm,
mm-hmm,
and that's kind of their thing. It's just 20th Century Fox distributed the movie.
Yeah.
And Disney now distributes this, mm-hmm, but they don't really put their name on it anywhere, really.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
And actually, you know what? Now that I come to think of it, I never noticed this about the Star Wars movies before, was they don't, there's absolutely no credits in the beginning. Because, you know, like every movie has stuff.
Yeah, a little bit of
this
stuff.
This literally has nothing, and then it's just the crawl.
I don't know if any of them do.
No, it's just the crawl. It's, mm-hmm, interesting. So the other thing that brings into is what's going to come to the parks? Because now you've got Spider-Man was under 20th Century Fox, mm-hmm, so Spider-Man now is fully under the Marvel umbrella.
Well, X-Men, we've already talked about how the plans for that one attraction that we saw that looked kind of like you're swinging or maybe
webbing
your way through. We're talking about, you know, maybe could it be like your Tarzan, like, I don't know, in the jungle, making your way through, or we're talking about
Spider-Man.
How it could be Spider-Man feeling, mm-hmm, you know, that kind of, I don't know, swinging your way, webbing your way through, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So, it's coming.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much stuff 20th Century Fox had until this all came out, and then I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. Although stuff that they're not getting with this purchase, I know this isn't really Disneyland related, but I think it's newsworthy, is they don't get any of the Fox News stuff, they don't get any of the Fox Sports stuff, so they don't have anything to add to ESPN, which I think they should cut ESPN loose as it is.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, our discussion topic this week is going to be a couple things. First, we're going to start with some feedback. So last week, we had a poll question up on Twitter that was, on your first day at Disneyland, where do you head and reply with why? 75% said Adventureland. So just like Teresa and I do, you go right over towards, Indiana Jones, Jungle Cruise, that area, mm-hmm, of the park.
Yep.
13% said Fantasyland. So they go straight through the castle and towards Fantasyland. 12% said Tomorrowland. Our friend Jerry Garcia at Jerry the Hut on Twitter said, I usually hit up Tomorrowland first, but my next visit in April, I'll be going left just to see how it goes. In fact, Teresa, weren't you kind of saying that?
You know what? I was actually saying that too. I said, since 75% seem to go the same way that Tag and I go, we go to the left and go through Adventureland. I kind of want to try going a different way too, just to see if maybe is our poll accurate? Does the majority go to the left? So am I actually just following the crowd instead of beating the crowd? So it'd be interesting to me to just check out a different, you know, first time there, check out a different part of the park and see how it goes.
I think part of it,
see if it's different.
I think part of it though is, I mean, there's more through Adventureland.
That's true. There is. Because the other thing too is, are you, you know, you're heading towards Adventureland, but are you stopping in Adventureland or are you going on through to New Orleans Square?
Right.
And Critter Country.
Well, if you were to cut the park in half, I would argue there are more attractions.
Yeah, for sure.
On the west side of the park than the east side of the park.
Maybe not more in number, but for sure more interesting and thrilling, I guess. Because, I mean, there's a lot of dark rides in Fantasyland.
Well, we've covered this a lot. So I kind forget about some parts of Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Because if you go to Tomorrowland, you got Buzz Lightyear,
there's a few
Star Tours, Space Mountain,
mm-hmm,
the monorail. The train.
Finding Nemo.
The Matterhorn.
Mm-hmm.
Autopia.
Yep, Autopia. There's a lot over there. There's just not...
It's a small
not
world.
Not the big ticket ones.
And that's about it. Because Toontown's kind of back. You know what I mean?
So would you say that Toontown
would be like through Fantasmic or through Fantasyland. But so would It's a Small World, I guess.
Yeah, it is. So if you cut if you're cutting the park in half, half of Fantasyland is going to be, you know.
Let's cut the two sides and let's cut
just left versus right.
Yeah. So if we go this way, if we go to Adventureland, we have the Tiki Room, and then we have Adventureland, and then we have the Tiki Room, and then we have the Jungle Cruise, and then we have Indiana Jones, and we have Pirates of the Caribbean.
And I don't know if you count it, but Tarzan's Treehouse.
Tarzan's Treehouse, yep. And then you have the Haunted Mansion and Splash Mountain, and then you have the Explorer Canoes and all that stuff, if you want to count that stuff. You have Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. You have the Mark Twain. And am I missing something? I think that might be it.
You are. I'm trying to think, though. But anyways, you've got the... I mean, what are you counting as an attraction, though? Are you counting
Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah, yes, Winnie the Pooh. Mm-hmm. So I was going to say, because you've got the...
things you get in line for.
Okay. Like... rides. I know I'm not supposed to say that word.
Yeah, like rides.
But I was thinking, because you've got... back in Adventureland, you also have the... The shooting range thing.
Yep, the shooting exposition. Technically, that's an attraction on the list, but yeah. I don't really count that, because you're never like standing in a line for it.
No, I've never seen a line for that either, but...
I feel like I'm missing something.
It'd be interesting. Okay, next week, the week after, when we come back, after the holidays, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what's where the majority of the attractions are set. You know what's also interesting? I'd like to also look at... a number of attractions in Disneyland versus California Adventure. Because I feel like there's a lot of them just in both parks that I kind of forget, because I just get so excited about the big e-ticket ones. I get excited to go on Pirates that I forget about. You know, we've talked about, I've never gone on the canoe. You know, I've never gone on the canoes. I've never ridden the Mark Twain. You know, that's just more time consuming things that I don't take the time to do.
Be ready for some upper body strength. And hopefully, hopefully you don't have the experience that I had, which is...
okay, what was your experience?
My experience was getting on it. And I was really excited because I had never done it before and it's not on a track.
And this is the canoes, right?
This is the canoes. Yep, David Crockett's Explorer Canoes. So I was like, this will be cool. It'll be a nice way to like see everything. Well, first of all, the two cast members that are doing it aren't really... helping. They're just kind of trying to get you like, come on, shove, and the guy in the back steering. So I guess there's that. Mm-hmm. But you're basically doing the work, and the person in front of me, you're in a, like, if I remember right, I think you're just in a single file line. Now I gotta look this up. I think you're in a single file line. Anyway, so what happened to me was,
so the person in front of you, was it somebody that you knew or just some...
no, total stranger. Yeah, you're in a... wait, nope. I'm sorry. You're side by side. So you're side by side. So it was Jimmy, Beignet Jimmy.
Yeah,
was to my right, I believe, and it was the two of us together. And he's the only other person that wanted to go on it. Nobody else wanted to go on it, which is fine. And so the person in front of me was like splash into my lap.
Oh no,
splash into my lap. And I'm like, really?
Wonderful.
Like, and then they would like stop while everybody else is going. And I'm like, okay, thank you for stopping because I'm tired of getting
stop
wet.
Splashing.
But at the same time, like. You need to be, like, it's going to take us an hour.
You're not pulling your weight, dear person.
Right. And, in fact, in the first picture I pull up here, the cast member is actually pushing, but I don't think he does that much of it. But it's a nice attraction. I mean, you kind of get on there.
Oh, look, that person's getting splashed.
Yeah. See, that stuff happens all the time. And that's part of the problem is that, see, you got the person. That's usually what it is. They stand up and there's somebody steering in the back. But I don't know. I like the Explorer Canoes. I did it once. I feel like if I went back, you know what? When we go, we will go on it together. It. So the last thing we're going to talk about on the show today, no, we did not. Doug, will you read Doug's comment? Did we not read Doug's comment?
So Doug Stevenson's at Doug Stevenson 88. Always tend to swing left. Tomorrowland just isn't innovative and lacks heart to me. I feel close to Walt elsewhere, especially in New Orleans Square. I like that. You know what? I agree with you, Doug, because to me, yeah, Tomorrowland's just kind of an afterthought for me. It's just not doing it for me. So I really, really hope, as we've discussed on the podcast before, I really hope that somewhere, maybe hopefully in the near future, but probably not. But I really hope that it gets a revamp over there. And it just needs some help. It's needed help for quite some time.
So I saw somebody tweeted today, not at us or anything, but I saw it on Twitter. And I thought, right when I saw it, I'm like, of course. They said, I really wish that instead of spending money to re-theme Paradise Pier, they would throw it into Tomorrowland.
Oh, for sure.
Like, yeah, Paradise Pier is fine. Like, you don't... like. Nobody goes to California Adventure and complains that Paradise Pier needs
and
work.
If they do, it's not as much as they're complaining about Tomorrowland.
No, Tomorrowland is a disaster.
You know, they probably just don't know what to do with it, and that's why they haven't done anything.
I think it would just cost a lot of money.
Yeah, that too. It is unfortunate. I'm very happy that we're getting a new land, that we're getting Star Wars: The Galaxy's Edge, but it's almost too bad that they couldn't have somehow, I don't know, did something in Tomorrowland, like kind of somehow combine the two together and just kind of scrap the whole Tomorrowland thing and just turn it into the Galaxy's Edge
right
area. But
money.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, because then they have to deal with the monorail and everything.
But then they're also having to close down a big chunk of the park while they're redoing everything.
They did it in 1998.
I suppose. Well, right now, you know, the park isn't affected with all their constructions that they're doing right now. So
what do you think about... Oh, that's an interesting idea, actually. Because if they open up Galaxy's Edge, then they can close Tomorrowland to do something with it.
They could. Maybe they will.
So here's a thought. So what year are we in? 2017? Do you think that for the 75th anniversary, which will be, I guess, 2030, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, do you think by the 75th anniversary they will have done something with Tomorrowland?
I really, really hope so. But at the rate that they're going now, no.
Because that gives them 10 years after.
Yeah, it's just completely the afterthought, though, because they... I don't know why. I wish I could get in their heads and figure out why Tomorrowland is the poor, forgotten part of the park that desperately needs some guidance and help and assistance.
Maybe instead of spending 50-whatever billion on 21st Century Fox, they should spend a billion on Tomorrowland. If they could spend $1 billion and renovate all of, or a good chunk of California Adventure, they could spend $1 billion and really make a cool Tomorrowland.
Unless maybe, I mean, are they, because they are trying to push a lot of stuff over to Disney California Adventure, are they trying to get people out of the Disneyland park so that they can spend the time and spend the money to redo the areas that
I think
need it?
It really comes down to the fact that Disneyland park was not designed to handle the amount of people that are there.
Oh, no,
and
for
California
sure.
Adventure was. So, like, if you were to take the busiest day at Disneyland, if you were literally to pick up all those guests and throw them in California Adventure, it would not feel as busy as it
sure.
does in Disneyland.
Well, I get that.
Even though there's probably less attractions at California Adventure. So, because they designed it that way. When you go to California Adventure and you're walking down some of the paths, I mean, the paths are wide. Like,
they're huge,
you could drive like four lanes of traffic down some of their things. Where Disneyland, I feel like you could barely get a car around in some areas there.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think they've worked themselves in a corner because there's really not much you can do at Disneyland to make bigger pathways without taking away a lot of stuff. No. And I think that would make people even more upset. So the last thing we want to talk about, I saw this on, we mentioned the Tim Tracker before, who makes the Disney videos out in Florida. And today or yesterday, he posted a link to an article from the Odyssey Online that talks about how remember to be kind to theme park cast members this Christmas. They make the magic for you. And I thought that this was important to talk about because I have witnessed, and Laura, who listens to the podcast, was there with me experiencing this. But one night, and I don't know if I've told this on the show before, but one night we were hanging out in the hub, and there was a cast member. They had a section of the walkway blocked off, and the cast member was trying to get people to go around because they've been doing this for 50-something years. They know their guest flow. They know how to get people around the park. So they rope off things for a reason. Yeah. If this would have been open, there would have been this weird cross traffic and it would have been causing all these problems. All of these people, this poor cast member, she's there with her little flashlight, and she's trying to get people to go by. And there's these people after people after people, and we're waiting for somebody. I think somebody's getting a corn dog or something, so we're just kind of standing there. And we hear them ask her, like, how come we can't just go through here? I want to just go right over there. I'm going to go through here. I want to go through here. And she's like, no, you need to go around, like, because you could go further down the path and then come back.
Sure.
And more than one person just walked right by her, went right under the rope, went under the other rope, and went on their way. And this one guy kind of started getting into it with her, and cast members can't really defend themselves and well, can't really say anything. Yeah. So Laura and I, this guy started getting into it with her, and I said, hey, and Laura I think chimed in at some part too, but we said, hey, they've been doing this a long time. They obviously have a reason for it. Just go down there and like stop being a jerk. And the guy just kind of looked at us like, what? And like caught off guard and like went around. And we apologized to the cast member. We said, we're sorry. You know, we know you can't say anything or whatever. And she's like, thank you. People just every night I just get yelled at. And, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do. So
that's horrible because they're there just doing their jobs. They're trying to make your experience magical. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to treat them terrible. Well, you know,
and you got to think, and I know a lot of people don't think, first of all, there's the long trope thing of like when you walk into a Disney park you leave your brain outside because like you go into this magical world. Mm-hmm. And they just think that like everything, you know, I can be an idiot and I'll be fine, it's a magical world. So I feel like people don't think that like Disney's done this for a long time. They know how to handle crowds. Yeah. They know how their park flow works. Sometimes they do a bad job at it, but most of the time they're pretty good. If everybody did what they're supposed to, it would work great. But what happens is people like this, they don't listen, they go through, they cause problems, they start being mean to the cast members, and you know what, they don't get paid enough to deal with this stuff.
Well, and I can see, you know, and I get both sides of it. I mean, I've never felt this way, but I can see how people, you know, guests are just, they're frustrated, they're stressed, they're on a time constraint, they maybe have screaming children or whatever, so right. If this poor cast member that's just asking them politely, can you please do this, you know, that poor cast member is the straw that breaks the camel's back, and so they're the one that they are gonna unload on because right. You know, whatever, but that's not right. You know, we got to remember that these people, even though, you know, yes, they are getting paid and yes, they're employees, you still need to be nice to them, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be able to go to the park. So,
well, you know, it's also just think like these people are people.
Well, and you know, they're passionate about what they do. They've got to be.
Right.
You know, they really enjoy the parks. Mm-hmm. They really enjoy the company.
Creating this magical
yeah,
experience.
Yeah, and they
people.
Like creating this experience for you to enjoy. So, you know, I feel like a lot of the times, and the other thing too is I've seen it where cast members have gone just way out of their way and like beaten all odds and all expectations, and I've seen someone just kind of expect that out of them, which
right.
That's, you know, that's not, I mean, yes, it's their job, but no, it's not really their job.
You should really appreciate it when they do go exactly. out of their way, but don't expect that they're going to go the
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
See, this reminds me of when I worked at the movie theater, and I would hate this, and please, listeners, please think of this when you go to the movies or anywhere. So many people will just leave their garbage, and they're like, I'm giving that usher a job.
Oh, yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. like, it's not the usher's job to clean up your garbage. It's the usher's job to come in and make sure that people didn't forget things, mm-hmm. that there aren't any issues in the theater. And if there is some spills, because it's popcorn, you're going to spill popcorn places. Like, to clean that up and make it nice for the next people, why go out of your way to be like, oh, I'm going to be a terrible person and leave it for somebody else? It's like, that's not what their job is. Their job is to clean up the occasional mess. So take your stuff out of the theater. When you're at the parks, be nice to everybody. When you're watching a parade and you've got your whole family sit down and you make camp for hours or whatever you want to do, pick up all your garbage at the end. Throw it. There's trash receptacles everywhere. Just throw it away.
That's one thing that's just amazing to me is I should count.
There are fleets of people.
No, I was going to say I should count how many steps it is between you. Anytime that I'm in Disneyland and I think, oh, you know, I need to throw this away. Pop, there's a garbage can. It's like,
you know,
there's
the story.
This magical little thing. I know it's a Walt thing, but it's just, it's so well placed that it's like they appear out of thin air sometimes, I feel. Because I don't notice them when I don't need them, but they are all over the place. It's awesome.
You know the story of the placement, though? You know it's a Walt thing.
Yes,
but do you know,
it's a Walt thing.
Do you know what the story is?
Well, go on and tell it, because I don't think I remember the
okay.
whole thing.
So it could be urban legend at this point. The way, because they were trying to figure out, he didn't want to have a dirty park. Like,
right.
he hated,
yep.
that's one
yep.
of the things
he
hated.
And that's why they don't
hated.
Sell gum.
Right. It's one of the things he hated. So he went... He went to a hot dog vendor. He got a hot dog. He said, okay, put a trash can here. He ate the hot dog. When he was done eating the hot dog, trash can here. That was the distance.
Sure. Because
it was the distance you need that you're going to be done with something and have this piece of garbage. And instead of just, because most people were like, now I got to carry this piece of garbage around, and they'll just go on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to have enough of those. And that's one thing I love about Disney is like, everywhere you go, there's trash. In the lines, there's trash.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And they're all themed, like the ones that in Indiana Jones are themed like all rusty kind of things. Yeah. And I'm sure the ones in Galaxy's Edge are going to be themed like different things. So, I don't know. I like that they do that.
Like I said, it's just magical to me because, like I said, you don't notice them. And then suddenly like, oh, you know, I've got to throw... Oh, look, there's a garbage can.
Right.
It's like they pop out of thin air. It's great.
Well, it's like it's vandalism. You know, they say that, you know, if you remove vandalism as soon as it shows up anywhere, even like public streets, if you remove it right away, you won't have more vandalism. But if you leave it up, more vandalism will occur. It's an interesting thing.
Well, and that makes sense, too, with litter. Because, yeah, if you think, oh, well, everybody's, you know, there's this one little thing inside of us. Oh, well, everyone's doing it, which doesn't make it right. But, you know, something else to think of. Now, we're going to go back to talking about being kind to the cast members. The other thing, especially during the holidays, to try and remember is that, you know, yes, you're there to have a great time. You're there to be with your family. But you got to remember, too, that these poor cast members that are working during the holidays are giving up spending time with their own families. A lot of these people might not actually be from either, you know, the Anaheim area or the Orlando area. So their families might be miles and miles away. But they're staying to work and to make your experience better because they're just their passion. And
they're open 365 days a year, 20, you know. So when you're there on Christmas having a great time, that means that all those people that are there are not with their families on Christmas. Yeah, so and remember that in retail too. I mean, both of us have worked in retail, and you know, luckily, I think the place we worked in retail wasn't open on Christmas. But you know, things like Disneyland, the movie theater, when I went to the movie theater, was open on Christmas. So the other thing to remember too, and I actually have a great example of this tonight. Actually, so we recorded this on Tuesday night. Disneyland was only scheduled to be open until 9 tonight. They extend their hours to 11. Imagine being a cast member, like they have to, like, they're coming around probably like, can you stay on an extra couple hours?
Yeah.
So some of these cast members might be working in the article, it actually says 8 to 15 hour shifts. And maybe they worked until 3 o'clock last night and they're back at 8 in the morning for whatever reason.
Yep.
So just remember, be nice to people. Treat others as you want to be treated. Remember that everybody's got a story and there's other things going on in people's lives outside of what you see. So well, even though they might have a smile.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is I don't think any of our listeners would be rude to the cast members. Pass it on. And maybe if you're in the parks and you see something kind of happening, you know, I don't think you need to go, you know, butt in and defend the cast member. But at the very least, you know, give them, you know.
It felt so good, though.
At the very least, just, you know, maybe apologize to that cast member and tell them that you hope they have a good day or, you know, something. Just remember to take care of your cast members because they take care of us all the time.
Something that people don't remember, but they should, and maybe listeners to this maybe don't know, but you should, especially if you see a situation like that, get the cast member's name, go to City Hall.
Oh, sure.
Write a thing because that means more to a cast member than anything. Because if they get that good feedback, I mean...
Come on, think about it. You took time out of your vacation to say that this person did an awesome thing. So I could, for sure.
And I think in general, we forget that. People that have a bad experience are likely to go complain about it, but people who have a good experience aren't.
No, yeah.
So I think it's really important because think about this. If, let's say, you're in the situation that I had with the cast member, people are mad and going under the rope. Maybe they got her name and was like, this cast member was really rude and told my family I couldn't go. So they wrote like a nasty thing. But then maybe I went afterwards and said, oh, this cast member was great. And she was trying to do her job and she kept her cool and everything.
Yep.
And like, you know, this person must be a saint because like I would have just slapped the crap out of this guy. But that type of stuff. And cast members, you know, if you look online, anywhere that cast members are on Mice Chat, there's the forums there. There's some cast members on the Disneyland subreddit. There are cast members and they all say the same thing. If you have a good experience, go to City Hall. Give them feedback, write it down.
For sure.
If you forget, I did this last time. Every time I ran into a good cast member on my phone in my notes app, I wrote down who it was, what the date was, what the time was, what attraction they were working in, like their name. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the trip, I went onto Disneyland's website and there's a section for feedback and it sends it to guest services. And I wrote all of their stuff out. Like we were at this day, they were super great, blah, 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 blah. And I had it all written down. I put it in one giant email or one contact form and I sent it. And I got a response back saying, thank you very much. We're going to contact all these cast members. If you follow the Disneyland Twitter,
That's awesome.
If you follow Disneyland Twitter, they've been showing, they've been pulling some of those and actually making little graphics and posting that, saying, you know, thanks, Mary, for providing this great customer experience and like actual feedback. So just think about how you like recognition in your job and make sure that you recognize others. So before we wrap up this week, we'd like each of you to support the show by just telling one other person about it or even posting something about the show to your social media pages. I know that during the holidays, being able to support a podcast by becoming a patron can be challenging. So sharing the show is a great alternative. If you do want to support the show financially, you can do so by going to DisneylandWeekly.com/support.
That is all we have for you this week. You can help the show by leaving a review on iTunes, as that really helps get our podcast out there. If you want to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Facebook by searching for Disneyland Weekly, on Twitter at DL Weekly, or sending us an email at feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com.
We'll be back after the new year with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks. Happy holidays.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.